It's good to be saved, isn't it? Good to know that you're on your way to heaven. Good to have joy of the Holy Ghost in your heart. Well, I thank God for His love tonight. John chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll go down through it, including verse number 9. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. I'm sure it's a scripture you've read many times. Bible says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time, isn't it? When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately, not sometime down the road, and immediately. Well, I tell you, when Jesus touches you, something happens, doesn't it? Man, it happens. It says, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, if that was on the Sabbath day and that was happening, I believe that old Baptists have church, wouldn't you? I tell you what, I know there were some Jews here that got angry about it because it's on the Sabbath. But I tell you, some good old Baptists would have church about that time. And I tell you, I thank God for that. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we love You. God, we thank You tonight, Lord, that Your power is still real. God, You're still great tonight, and You're still on the throne. And Lord, You're still worthy to be praised and honored. And God, we just honored to be in Your presence tonight, Father. Lord, I pray that You'd help me tonight, Lord, to preach. And God, that You'd just give us an anointing, Lord. And God, I don't want You just to pour the anointing on, but God, I want You to rub it in, God, I pray. And Lord, that You'd just give us unction of the Holy Ghost, God, that we can preach. And Father, I pray, Lord, for these that are still here tonight that don't know Jesus. God, they might have been here last night, might have been here the night before, and some of them might be new here tonight. But, oh God, as the pastor's already said, Lord, just because they came in lost don't mean they have to go out that way. And God, I pray, Lord, that before this service is out, God, they might come to an old-fashioned altar tonight. Lord, repent. God, I pray get sin out of their lives, Lord, and I pray, God, be made new by the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray, Lord, that You'd take Your children tonight, Father, and encourage them and edify them. God, I pray. Lord, I lift them up to You tonight, God, and ask that You just love on them. Lord, if there's one here tonight, God, sick in body, Lord, that needs a touch from heaven, God, I pray do it tonight. Lord Jesus, let Your grace, Lord, be poured out upon them, because, Lord, I know in whatever situation we're in, that's sufficient for all things. And we'll give You the praise and the honor tonight. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated tonight. I don't know about the rest of you, but you heard Brother Dean tonight. I can preach as long as I want to, all right? How many of you heard that tonight beside me? Amen. All right. We'll preach as long as the Holy Ghost will let us. How's that? Amen. There was once a photographer for a national magazine who was assigned to get photos of a great forest fire that was burning. And smoke at the scene hampered him, and he asked his home office to hire a plane that he could get into and fly above the smoke so he could get some pictures of this great fire. Well, arrangements were made, and he was told to go to a nearby airport where there would be a plane that would be waiting for him when he got there. Well, when he arrived at the airport, sure enough, a plane was warming up there on the runway. So he jumped in with all of his equipment, and he yelled, Let's go! Come on, let's go! Well, the pilot got that plane. airplane rolling down the runway and took off and swung that thing into the wind, and soon it was flying up in the air. Old photographer looked over the pilot and yelled at him, said, "Fly over the north side of the fire and make three or four low-level passes so I can get some good pictures, some good shots of this thing." Pilot looks at him and says, "Why? What do you want me to do that for?" And he said, "Because I want to take some pictures of this thing." He said, "I'm a photographer, and photographers take pictures." And after a pause, the pilot looked over at him and said, "You mean you're not the instructor?" Now, folks, I'm sure that we've all experienced times when we found ourselves severely troubled. Well, in our text this evening, we find that there's a place here where the Bible teaches us that there's five porches. And it seems that for a select few, these porches were very special places. Because according to the Bible, at a certain season, there would be an angel that would descend in the waters of the pool of Bethesda. And those waters would be stirred up. And when this event occurred, the Bible says that the first person that could get from the porch, or one of those five porches that they were laying in, down into the pools of the water, would be healed. And while this was a blessing to the one person that could get in, it only held disappointment for everybody else who was desperate for healing. Well, one day, as the sick and the infirm were lying there waiting for the waters to move, Jesus passed through. And He walked down on those porches. And what took place that day was a demonstration of the divine power of God to heal the body. Do you believe in a healing Jesus tonight? I do. I believe He still heals. Now, I'll just tell you right now, I don't believe in a healing Benny Hinn. Alright, I don't believe in a healing, I don't believe in this faith movement you see running around here today. Because if there was anybody that had faith, it was the Apostle Paul, but Jesus didn't allow him to be healed one time. And so I don't believe that necessarily it all deals on faith so much as it deals in the sovereignty of God. But I do understand, though, that there still is a healing Savior. And although we understand it's a picture of His divine power to heal the body, more importantly, it's also a picture of His divine power to heal the soul. And I tell you, that's the most important thing, because what would it profit a man if he'd gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, tonight I want us to understand that as we see in these sick folk, and especially in this man that Jesus healed, I think we can see ourselves tonight. I believe we can see our need of God tonight. And I believe we can see the solution that Jesus offers each one of us today. Because you know what? As we look in this passage of Scripture, the Bible said there were different people that dealt with different issues. The Bible said some of them were impotent. He said there's a great multitude of them. There were lots of them. And you know what? We've got a good multitude here tonight. And there are some folks dealing with various situations in their lives. These folks, the Bible said, that some of them were impotent, the Bible says. And that certainly means, as what Brother Dean said, they had no power to help themselves. The Bible said some of them were blind. The Bible said some of them were halt. Some were withered, but they were all waiting for the moving of the water. You know what? I don't doubt that tonight there are folks of all sorts that are here this evening that have all sorts and a variety of issues that you're facing tonight. And I'm sure tonight you're waiting for the moving of the waters as well. Well, tonight I want to tell you something. I'm glad that Jesus stopped by this place. I'm glad He's here tonight. And you know what? We don't have to wait on an angel to come and stir the waters. Because you know what? Hallelujah. We got the heavenly God of glory. And you know what? He was the one that created the angels. And if God can create them, I believe God can touch and heal anything we have tonight. I want you tonight to look for just a little bit on a message I want to preach, just simply entitled, Troubled Waters for Troubled Souls. The first thing I want you to see tonight, number one, is we find a pitiful condition. Amen. We find a pitiful condition, and you can read in verses 1 all the way down through 7, you'll find pitiful conditions all around. But I want to focus on this one man right here, this impotent man that Jesus dealt with, because we find in this impotent man is a very pitiful condition. And I believe that if we look at ourselves tonight, I believe that some of us would have to say this is a picture of us tonight. Because if you're here tonight without Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you're in a pitiful condition. You don't have hope, and you can't find no help tonight. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Can I tell you, there's folks talking, you know, going around saying, you know what, I've just been searching and I'm searching and I'm searching and I finally found it. You know what, let me tell you something, he wasn't lost. There's an old Southern Gospel song that gets sung a lot on these radio stations around here of one of these famous groups that says, I kept on searching till I found the King of Kings. It's an upbeat song too. It'll make you want to move a little bit. But there ain't nothing right about that song. Let me tell you something. You didn't go searching for Him. He came looking for you. Because we realize this man was impotent. The only place he was going to land was on a porch. And if Jesus hadn't went to the porch where he was at, he wouldn't have got what he needed. But I'm glad Jesus came to where I was at. And I'm glad Jesus came to where you was at. I'm glad he came down to your horrible pit and your miry clay. And he found you there. And he lifted you up. And he saved you. Hallelujah. We find a pitiful condition. We find this man endured a grave dilemma. The Bible said, you think about this, this was a great multitude of impotent folks, blind, halt, withered. All of these guys had problems. All these folks had issues that they didn't have any way whatsoever to help. It reminds me, preacher, of the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible said that woman had spent all that she had on physicians. And what made it all that much worse is they didn't get a bit better for her, but she got worse. The Bible says, folks, I don't know about you, but there's people in this life, you know what, they need more than anything else, they needed an encounter with Jesus. But you know what they're trying to do? They're chasing this and running to that and going to here and going to there, trying to get what they're longing for, trying to fill that void in their lives, and what they find is that they're not getting any better, but rather they're getting worse. And folks, we find this man endured a grave dilemma, and he lived in a state of desperation as well. Because the Bible said it was a certain man which had an infirmity, but he had it for 38 years. Folks, can you imagine how desperate this guy was to get healed of this infirmity? 38 years he hung out by this pool. You know what? That's a lot of time wasted right there, ain't it? There's a lot of time wasted laying in a place where he could never get healed. He laying in a place where he never could get any help. For 38 years he said nobody would get me down in that water. For 38 years he said somebody'd jump in it before I could get there. For 38 years he laid there. For 38 years he cried the blues. For 38 years, he couldn't get any relief. I don't know about you tonight, but he's in a desperate state. And there's folks today living in the same state, laying around places where they ain't going to find no help, hanging out in places where they ain't got nothing good. And all that they can do is simply remain in a place of desperation. Folks, it's a grave dilemma. And the Bible says here, he lived in a state of desperation. And then the Bible says he also relied on a distorted dependency. Won't you look what he said? Jesus looked at him in verse 6 and said, son, you want to be made whole? He said, well, yeah, I'd kind of like to be made whole, but you know what, Lord? I don't have nobody to help me put me in the water. You know what he had? He had a distorted dependency. He didn't need the water. He didn't know that at this moment, but he didn't need the water. But you know what? I realized something when I read this passage of Scripture. I want you to look at it real close, because I ain't going to take it out of context. I'm going to take it in exactly what it says right here. All right, you with me on this? Look what he said. He said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But now look what he says. But while I am coming. This guy's laying there for 38 years, but he has the ability to get in the water. He just don't get there fast enough.
See, he's got a distorted dependency. And there's a number of us tonight that probably can get the help we need if we'll simply just call on Jesus and give up our old lives and take on the life of Christ. But you know what we're doing? We're relying on everybody else. We're relying on everything else. And you know what? My sin ain't my problem. My sin ain't my fault. Oh, I grew up in a bad home. Oh, I wasn't raised right. We were poor. We didn't have like everybody else did. Oh, I had a bad mama. Or I had a bad daddy. I lived on this side of town. Oh, preacher, you don't know what I'm dealing with. They want to blame everything else. But can I tell you something? One day you're going to stand before a holy God, and you're not going to give an account for what mom and dad did. You ain't going to give an account for what happened in the back alley somewhere. You're going to give an account for where you stood with God. Quit relying on everybody else, blaming the problems on everybody else. Folks, let me tell you something. When I was lost because I didn't want Jesus. I was lost because I enjoyed sin. And it wasn't because of the way I was raised. He relied on a distorted dependency. Let me read a scripture to you. You don't have to turn here, but I want you to listen to what it says, though. In the book of Jeremiah, the Bible says in chapter number 17, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh." What happened to this guy right here? Jesus standing right before him. "Wilt thou be made whole?" "Well, I don't have nobody put me in the water." It's like a woman at the well. "You ain't got nothing to draw with," she told Jesus. He said, "If you'd known who I was, you'd have been asking for living water." You know what the problem was? She couldn't see who he was. That's exactly what this guy's problem was, because he was trusting in man. Folks, we need to get out, stop trusting in man so much, start trusting in God. He said, "You know what? He's not going to see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited." That's what the Bible says. See, when you trust man, all you end up at is a place where you're dry. It's that simple. And this fellow, you know where he wanted to be? He wanted to be in the water. But where did he remain? In a place that was dry, on the porch. Folks, let me tell you something. I don't care what you try in this life. You can run here and try that and try this and try that and over here and run there and all these other things. You might get involved in this relationship and leave that and run of this and run of that and lay here and lay there and run there and run here and do this and do that and all these other things. And all you're going to do is end up dry. Amen. Dry as a bone. Folks, I'll tell you one thing. When you come to Jesus and make Him Lord of your life, you'll realize something. I didn't need to run there after all. I didn't need that one over there. I didn't need that and down the road. I didn't need that in that back alley. And I didn't need that and down that street. What I needed the whole time was right there in front of me. What I needed the whole time was what that old preacher Dean used to always preach down there at Cricket Baptist. What I needed the whole time was what the bus driver used to come by and tell me when he'd pick me up. What I needed the whole time was the very thing that was written in red in that King James Bible. Let me tell you something right now. What you need is Jesus. You don't need a new husband. You don't need a new wife. You don't need a new job. You don't need this and you don't need that. You don't need a fix. You don't need all these things. What you need is an encounter with a holy God. And when you get an encounter with Jesus, you'll realize something. I've got all I need now. Hallelujah. I realize something. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. He relied on a distorted dependency. But can I tell you also, he was dealt constantly persistent disappointments. See, every time you keep relying on man, you're going to be disappointed. You know what? Even the best of men will disappoint you. I'll disappoint you. This pastor here, as genuine, as loving as he is, he'll disappoint you. Everybody you trust in this life at some point in time will disappoint you. He said, Lord, he said, "But while I am coming, Here he says, I think I can get down to it. And you know what? I've been to Bethesda. And you know what? They have porches and there's a load of steps. And then it goes to another porch and there's a load of steps. And it goes to another porch. And then finally down at the bottom is where the water is at. And can you see this guy? He's a coming and maybe he's like I'm about two steps away from him. And here he thinks, I'm finally going to get in. And here he goes and he's got one foot getting ready to come. And all of a sudden he hears out of the side, splash. And he looks over and there's one jumping out going, ah, glory! Because he got healed and he's dead. Oh, that close. And here he's got to come. And he's got to get back up. And there he's back to square one again. How many of you keep falling back to square one all the time? God, I'm going to get delivered from this drug addiction finally. God, here I go. And 2 weeks later, you're back to square one again. 2 weeks later, you're back in the bar again. Oh, my marriage is going to be different this time. It's going to be better this time, I promise you. And then all of a sudden, 3 weeks later, you're back in the same mess again. How many times have you been dealt persistent disappointments in life? Oh, it was going to be different this time. But here you are. You want to know why? Because you never got in the water.
Amen.
You're relying on everything else but the very one that can change it all.
Amen.
Oh, somebody tell you something. We need Jesus.
Yeah.
We need Jesus. Oh, that's a pitiful condition, isn't it?
Amen.
You know what else we find? Not only is there a pitiful condition, but we see, we hear rather a powerful conversation. The Bible says Jesus asks him a pointed question. He says, wilt thou be made whole? You know what he says? He didn't say, you know, would you like me to help you in the water? That's not what he said. He didn't say that. He said, I want to know something. Do you really want to be whole? Do you really want to be set free? Do you really want me to move in your life?
Amen.
I pastored down in as some of you know, and I might have told you this, but I pastored in Florida for a number of years before I came to North Carolina. And I was preaching on a Sunday morning. And I remember I had a young gal, she's in her 20s, that would come to church. She started getting her grandma to come to church. And grandma was in her 70s, and grandma had a hard time walking. She could barely get along. And sometimes she'd have a cane, sometimes she'd have a walker, and sometimes she wouldn't bring none of it. And she'd barely shuffle along. And I was preaching one Sunday. And I give the invitation, and here come Grandma. She stepped up, and she started making her way down the aisle. And I thought, I'm coming down off of the podium, and I'm coming down here on the floor level because, you know, it might be a bit before she can get here. And when she does, she certainly can't kneel down. And so she come up, and I said, honey, I said, I want to know what you came for. She said, I want to be saved. And I said, praise God. Man, I pulled the Bible out. I started showing her the Word of God where she needed to be saved. And I went through the whole Scripture. I can't remember if I took her the Romans Road or where I led her, but I can just tell you right now. But I took her through the Word of God and showed her how she can be saved. And I said, I want you to pray. You pray with your mouth because confession is made with the mouth, the Bible teaches. Folks, I believe we ought to pray our own prayer. Stop relying on the preacher to pray it for us. You know what? Let's pray it ourselves. And you know what? And I begin, and she prayed, and she did. And she asked God to save her soul.
Yeah.
And I thought, hallelujah, man. I tell you, here she's coming in her 70s. And if you can get them saved in their 70s, you know what? You're pulling them right out of the fire.
Yeah.
And so I did just like what we've done all week long. I told my piano player, I said, get us a song. I said, let's come around and let's give her the right hand of fellowship. She said, she's up here in the front with me. I mean, I'm standing right here. She's standing right here beside me. We're looking out over the crowd. And she goes, hold on a second, preacher. She says, I got to ask you a question. I mean, I'm not making this as real as it can be. She said, I got to ask you a question. And she started getting a little quiet. And I said, well, okay. I said, what do you want to ask? She said, does this mean that I got to stop living with my boyfriend? She's 70-some year old on a walker. And I went, and I said, yes, that's what that means. She said, I can't do that. I said, why not? She said, because if we get married, she said, they'll take my Social Security away. I took her to Matthew 6 and 33. I said, read this. I said, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. You know why she left there that day? Refusing to move out or to get married, either one. She refused. And see, Jesus looked over at that boy, that man. Probably been an older guy by now, been impotent for 38 years. At least had an infirmity for 38 years. He looks over at him and says, I want to know something, man. You've been laying around here for 38 years. I want to know something. Do you really want to be whole? Amen. You've been hanging out to church a long time out here crooked. Ain't about time you get saved. Amen. Ain't about time you stop playing. Ain't about time you get real. Ain't about time you take the alcohol and throw it away. Ain't about time you stop doing drugs. Ain't about time you quit laying with this one and laying with that one. Ain't about time you start getting faithful to come to two Sundays in a row. Ain't about time you land in a Sunday school class somewhere. Ain't about time you make Wednesday night service. Ain't about time you get involved with God. Ain't about time you start telling others what Jesus done for you. Ain't it about time? He said, do you really want to be whole? You know what that woman was telling me? I don't really want to be whole. I just don't want to go to hell, but I want to have everything else. And folks, let me tell you something. Jesus didn't play that game. He didn't play that game. You know, I understand this when I say this, and don't you take me out of context on this and misunderstand me, because I understand salvation is a free gift. It is, and I understand what we mean when we say that. But I'll tell you something. When you think about it, it really ain't free. And here's why. Because it's going to cost you everything. Bible says that man that seeks to save his life and keep it, he's going to lose it one day. But that man that loses his life shall keep it throughout all eternity, he says.
Amen.
So see, salvation actually, it's not a free thing. It's going to cost you everything. Because old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. That's what being saved's all about, isn't it? Now listen, we find there was a pointed question. And then we hear a pitiful excuse. The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me in the pool. While I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Now think about this. Now, I know there's high pools that are there. And I know there's steps leading down. I know it's all these things. But I wonder, after 38 years of being left in the dry, wouldn't you have crawled to the very bottom step? So that way, and been just looking, so as soon as the water troubled, you could get in? You wouldn't have to go very far. But where was he at? At the top. At the top. You know what Jesus was telling him? You really don't want to be whole. Because you ain't anywhere near the water. It's a pitiful excuse. Everybody's got an excuse. Everybody's got an excuse about why this and why that and why my life ain't right and why I can't serve God and why everything's just going bad. All these reasons. But I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I think if we just get real close to Jesus and hang with Him for a while, I bet some things would start changing, don't you? That's a pitiful excuse, isn't it? Now listen. Oh, Deion Sanders. Y'all remember Deion Sanders? He used to play football. He used to play baseball. He's the last guy to ever play baseball and football at the same time. Well, Deion Sanders, he was outfielder for the Atlanta Braves. Also played corner for the Falcons, the 49ers, the Cowboys, and I don't know who all else he played for. But he's the only athlete to ever hit a major league home run and score an NFL touchdown in the same week. Think about that. That's an athlete right there, isn't it? Well, Sanders grew up on the streets. He grew up on the streets of Fort Myers, Florida, exactly is where he grew up at. And he had had some exposure to what he thought was would-be athletes. And these would-be athletes, they encouraged him, they inspired him, they spurred him on to make
a success of himself. Here's what he said. I wrote this down. He says, quote, "I'd call them Idas. If I'd have done this, I'd be making $3 million today. If I'd have practiced a little harder, I'd be a superstar." He said, you know what? That's what he said. Quote, he said, "They were as fast as me when they were kids." He said, "But instead of working for their dreams, they chose drugs and a life of street corners. When I was young, I had practice. My friends who didn't went straight to the streets and they never left. That moment after school is the moment we need to grab. We don't need any more Idas."
Amen.
And see, tonight you're here. And this is the moment you need to grab.
Amen.
This is your moment tonight where finally you can break the chains forever. You don't have to go back to the alcohol when you leave here tonight. Never again. You don't have to go back to the drugs. Never again. You don't have to live in adultery. Ever again. You don't have to fornicate and carouse. Ever again. You don't have to have a failed marriage anymore. You don't have to have rotten kids anymore. You don't have to have all these things anymore. Because tonight is your night that you can grab the moment because Jesus is here tonight. Folks, we see a pitiful excuse and then we hear a powerful command. Jesus looks at him and says in verse number 8, Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." I can tell you right now that wasn't the answer he's looking for. Now you think about this. You know what was never said at any point in time until we get to verse 8? Here's what was not said. Now notice this. Brother Joe, it was never mentioned from verse 1 through verse 7. It was never mentioned this guy had a bed.
Nope.
That was never mentioned. Which meant he was getting pretty comfortable in the state he was in. I wonder how many folks tonight are comfortable in the state they're in. Even though the state they're in is a state of failure. Even though the state they're in is a state of hopelessness and desperation. But I've been in it for so long and the devil has lied to me and I've believed it in the thinking it ain't never going to get any better. I might as well just lay a bed down here and lay in it. Let me tell you something, that's what that old boy had. He had a bed laying there. That's why he never would get down to the bottom step, because he's too busy laying on a bed up at the top. You know what Jesus said? He said, you need to get rid of the bed. You need to get out of being comfortable in this position. It's time that you realize this ain't what you're designed for. This time you realize this ain't what I've got planned for you. You're not fulfilling anything by laying here in this bed.
Amen.
And he told him, he said, it's time you take up your bed. Get out of this place, he says. Rise up and walk. Glory to God. Somebody get up tonight. Get out of that bed. Rise up and fulfill what God has for your life.
Preacher, let's get
up. I tell you, I will praise God. I'll get up and I'll get out of that bed. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Now, we went through the whole story. I want to give you a paramount consideration tonight. Here's some things we need to consider. I've told you all week long, it's good to know the story, but unless you can make application of it, it ain't worth a hoot. So I want you to consider something tonight. Because for many folks, the devil has lied to them and they've swallowed it hook, line, and sinker that it ain't going to be any better. I might as well not even try because it ain't going to work. I've dealt with this for years and years, and this is the way that it's always been. This is the way that I've always been. This is the way everything's always been. The world's just that way, and so therefore, that's just the way it's going to be. I want to tell you something tonight. You need to consider the magnitude of God's grace. You need to consider the magnitude of God's grace. The Bible said here there was at Jerusalem, it says by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude. I want you to know something tonight. Jesus came down to where that place was at. We've only got recorded that He healed one man. But I don't know if He might not have healed some more while He was there. But I'll tell you one thing. He came for a great multitude. There's a great multitude laying on the porches. There's a great multitude outside this door right here that needs a loving Savior. There's a great multitude in these neighborhoods that are around you right here. Can I just be honest, and you know it as well as I do, these ain't the best neighborhoods around this place. But can I tell you right now, Jesus loves every last one of them. And Jesus has a plan. And Jesus has a purpose. And Jesus has something. Glory to God. Cricket Baptist Church, rise up and realize God's grace. Hallelujah. It's greater than all of our sin. We need to consider the magnitude of God's grace. God's grace is able. It's sufficient tonight. It's not sufficient to get you through hardships. It's sufficient enough to save you. You know what they sung that song tonight? To God be the glory. And the Bible said, in that song it said, and He saves me. But I like that next part. What's that next part say? Somebody said it. He keeps me clean.
Yes.
He saves me. But hallelujah, He didn't just stop right there. Because the magnitude of God's grace is one that He not only saved me, hallelujah, but He keeps me clean, glory to God. When I got out of it, I didn't go back to it anymore. Because the power of God is not just enough to save me, but it's enough to get me out and keep me out of it. That's the magnitude of God's grace. And the next time the devil lies to you and says, you know what, you're stuck in it, you tell him, devil, you're a liar. Because I realize God's grace is greater than that. Consider the magnitude of God's grace. And not only consider the magnitude of God's grace, but consider the miraculous ability of God's grace. He said, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. I wonder how much sin was in them folks. You ever think about that? See, we're focusing on their physical problems. Blind, halt, withered, impotent. You know what? All these physical conditions. I wonder how much sin they had in their lives. I wonder how much sin they had. I wonder how many of them there was halt because of sin. I wonder how many of them was withered because of sin. Blind because of sin. Some of them were blind, I'm sure, maybe at birth. Some of them was born with an infirmity or a handicap. It wasn't their fault in doing. But I wonder how many of them was full of sin in their lives. But yet they still expected if they could get to the water, they'd get healed. They didn't deserve it. They couldn't earn it. They certainly couldn't buy it. They couldn't work. But yet, God's grace has such an ability to it that it didn't matter how much sin they had in their lives, if it had just reached the water, they'd be healed. Can I tell you tonight, glory to God, somebody ought to shout. You know what? It doesn't matter tonight how much sin you got in your life. You know what you need? You need to get to the water. You need to find that well of living water that springeth forth. And it doesn't matter what your sin is. Oh, hallelujah. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Oh, that's the miraculous ability of God's grace. God's grace. You know what the miracle of that is? It ain't the miracle of the fact that they got healed of a physical infirmity. The miracle is the fact that God thought enough of them to heal them anyway. That's the miracle of the whole thing. You think God thought enough of you to save you? You think God thought enough of me to send His Son to die on an old rugged tree? There He was with a crown of thorns plaited on His head. There He was with the very hide tore off His back. There He was with nails through His hands
and through his feet. There he was, hanging on that cross, and it got dark. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He done that for you. God sent him to do that for you. Who am I? What is man that thou art mindful of him? That's the miraculous ability of God's grace. Here we are, wretched. Wretched, blind, halt, withered, and maimed. But God sent His Son to die for us. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Glory.
Now, won't you consider the marvelous compassion of God's grace? Verse 6, you ever notice this right here? Brother Joe, watch this right here, brother. How many of them was on them porches?
I don't know. Bible says a great multitude.
But you know what the Bible says? It didn't say when Jesus saw them. He said, and when He saw him lie. Out of all the people on those porches, Jesus singled him out for compassion. Out of all of the people in this great land, out of all of the people that have come and gone, out of all the people throughout this globe, God came to where you were.
Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
God came to where I was at.
Yes, He did.
Knowing He should have passed me by. I wasn't worthy of it. You weren't worthy of it either. But there He stopped for you. There He saw you. Glory to God. The Bible said He knows every sparrow that falls to the ground. He knows every hair we've got on our head. He knows all of that. He says, how much more value are you than many sparrows? Can I tell you something tonight? Can you imagine, can you consider for a moment the marvelous compassion of God's grace? He picked you out of a crowd and chose to save you. David said in Psalm 142 and 3, he said, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. Oh, hallelujah. When sin had got the best of me, when sin had ruined me, when sin had left me hung out to dry, God knew where I was. Hallelujah. He knew the path I was walking down. He knew where the devil had hung me out to dry. Hallelujah. And He came there to where I was at. There He went to the very pit itself. Greater love hath no man than that. A man laid down his life. You ever thought about that verse? Because the Bible says in Romans 5 and 8, but God yet commendeth His love toward us. In that while we were yet friends. Yeah, but the other verse said, in greater love hath no man than this man laid down his life for his friends. So Romans 5 and 8 ought to complement that, shouldn't it? It should say, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were His friends, He died for us. Now, have you thought about that verse again? You were a sinner. You didn't care a thing for Him. You didn't want Him, and you weren't looking for Him. But God commendeth a love that is surpassed by no one else. That He looked at you in your worst and awful sinful state and considered you a friend.
Amen.
Are you catching this tonight? Here you are laying out there on Skid Row. God said, there's my friend. Here you are laying out there with needle tracks up and down your arms. But God said, there's my friend. Here you are like the woman caught in the very act of adultery. But God said, there's my friend. Oh, you ain't getting this tonight. God found you thieving and conniving and lying and stealing. But yet He said, you know what? There's my friend. And for those of you that think you're so holy, you didn't have those problems, he said, look at that one. It's got the pride in their life. That's welled up so high they can't even see past their nose. But I want you to know something. They're my friend. Now consider the marvelous compassion of God's grace. It's easy to love Brother Joe. Brother Joe's my friend. He knows that.
Yes, yes.
I know he's my friend. Yes, we've got to know each other the last few years since I've been in Carolina. And this man, I love this man. But I tell you what, if this man was mean to me, I don't know if he'd be his friend or not. And I don't know if I'd run around telling you he's my friend neither. But see, when you read Scripture and interpret Scripture with Scripture, you realize God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for His friends.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Mm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I want you to see this last one. I want you to consider the missed opportunities of God's grace. Folks, the magnitude of God's grace can't be measured. The miraculous ability of God's grace is overwhelming. And the marvelous compassion of God's grace cannot be surpassed. But yet we still need to consider the missed opportunities of God's grace. For an angel went down a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. That whosoever then first, after the trouble of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease that he had. And I mentioned it to you at the very beginning. That person would be overjoyed. But all it left was disappointment to all those that didn't make it in. And I wonder how many people here tonight, whether you go to this church or whether you go somewhere else or whether you don't attend anywhere, but time after time after time again, God's extended His grace towards you. Time after time again, you've heard the preaching of the cross. Time after time again, you've heard about this one named Jesus that loved you with an everlasting love. The one that God sent His only begotten Son to die in your place, the wretched sinner that you are. But yet He commendeth His love towards you and thought enough of you to make a friend out of you before you even loved the thought of Him. But yet Jesus Christ done all that to you, and you walk out of here every night, and you walk out of here every Sunday, and every Wednesday and Sunday nights, and you walk out of every vacation Bible school, and you walk out of every revival, and you walk out of every service, and you walk out of here lost, 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 and you miss opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And let me ask you this question right here. How many more opportunities do you think you're going to have? How many opportunities do you think you're going to have? Well, preacher, I'm healthy. You know what? You don't have to die to eliminate your opportunities. Some people think, well, you know what, I'll get in right before I die. You know what? God may stop drawing.
Amen.
God may stop drawing long before you ever die. The Bible tells us, you know what He did? He turns many people over. He says, if that's what you want. The Bible says no man can come unto God unless he's drawn.
That's right.
I had a fellow tell me this. I came to Carolina 5 years ago, and one of my guys in the church said, we need to go visit so-and-so. Man, we've been working on him for a long time. He's not saved. And here it is 5 years later, and he still ain't saved. And I went down to his house one night. Can't remember what night it was on, probably sometime during the week. It was in the wintertime because it was dark early. Went out there, and I sat in his living room, and I started talking to him about being saved. And he said, ah, preacher, he said, you know what? He said, why do I need to come out there at that church and get saved? He said, I can get saved right here in my living room. I said, well, I said, I understand what you're saying with that. And I said, theoretically, you can get saved here in your living room. I said, but that's only if that's where God's drawing you at. I said, God may not choose to draw you here in this living room. I said, He may choose to draw you only at that altar at that church. And I said, you won't get saved anywhere else except right there at that altar in that church. Folks think they're going to come to Jesus when they plan it. Folks think they're going to come to Jesus when they decide. Folks think they're going to come to Jesus whenever they stop sowing all their wild oats and enjoying life and having fun. Had a fellow I used to work with. He and I were supervisors at a company, and he was just a little bit lower than I was, but we liked each other, and his name was Jeff. And I started talking to Jeff about coming to church and getting saved. And he said, oh, preacher, he said, you know what? He said, I would come to church. I would get saved. I really would, preacher. He said, but you know why I don't? I said, I don't know. Why don't you tell me? He said, I'll tell you why. He said, because if I did, I wouldn't get to do nothing anymore. What did he say? And there's people that the devil has lied to and lied to and lied to, that if you become a Christian, all of a sudden your life is just boring as it can be. All of a sudden your life, you don't get to go out and enjoy anything anymore. You don't get to have fun no more. All you're going to do is sit out there with them bunch of old coots out there at the church, and that's all your life's going to be. You're going to be churning apple butter out there before long. That's all you're ever going to get done out there. I'll tell you what, that's the exact same lie that's been from the very beginning of time. I won't tell you why. Can I tell you why? I'll be done after this, I promise you. I won't tell you why, though. I'm going to tell you why. Because the Bible said that in the beginning, God made Adam out of the dust of the earth. And He caused Adam to come into a deep sleep, did He not? And He took a rib out of Adam's side, and He formed Eve from his rib. He placed them in a garden, gave Adam the job of tending the garden. And He placed them in that garden, and He said, now, in this garden, He said, look around. He said, all of these trees that's in this garden, all of the fruit, everything that's on these trees, He said, you can partake of freely. He said, but of this one tree that's in the midst of the garden, He said, don't you eat of it.
That's right.
Old devil comes along, says, did God say, you know why God don't want you to eat that tree right there, the fruit on that tree? Because He knows you'll be like Him.
That's right.
You know, God's trying to hold you back. God's trying to stymie your fun. God don't want you to be yourself. He don't want you to be who you are. You're going to have to go around and carry that old King James Bible and wear your dresses and ties and suits and everything else and everything, and you won't never be able to have a good time. And if you decide to go to the beach, you'll have to lie and tell everybody you went to the coast because it don't sound like you're naked if you do that. See, Baptists don't go to the beach, they go to the coast. Put a fishing pole on their back and say, I'm going to the coast. You know? Yeah, you bunch of liars. Yeah. You know you're going to the beach, just admit it. Right? But that's what the devil's got everybody to believe in. I can't have no fun. If I get saved, everything's just over with. But you know what? You know what the devil did? God said, you can have it all except this. Now, I don't know, because the Bible doesn't teach us how many trees and varieties of fruit was in that garden. But yet there was a bunch. We know that. He said of all of these trees, He said you can partake of freely. But the devil got her so focused on the one single tree that she couldn't have that he robbed her of the enjoyment of everything else. And that's what these problems come. Well, if I got saved, I couldn't live and enjoy myself. Let me tell you something. I've been on that side of the tracks. And you know what? I realized something. I realized on this side of the track, I'm having a whole lot more fun than I did on that side. You know what? I'm enjoying life like I've never enjoyed it before. Oh, I'm telling you, living is sweeter when you're on this side of the tracks. Glory to God, I'm here to tell you tonight, you know what? I ain't focusing on that one thing God told me not to be involved in, but I'm enjoying all the other things that God lets me be involved in. Hallelujah! I'm glad to be saved. Yeah. I want you to consider tonight the missed opportunities of God's grace. Because there are folks that keep missing out and keep missing out. And the devil's lied to you long enough. And I wonder tonight, wilt thou be made whole? Let's stand. Brother and sister, if you'd come back to the instruments again tonight, if you would, for just a moment. And as they come, I'd ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes tonight in reverence to a holy God. And the most important time of the service is the invitation time. Boy, I'm just glad tonight Jesus is here. And Jesus is asking the question tonight. He's saying, wilt thou be made whole? Will you tonight come to me? And will you tonight finally break the chains? Tonight I wonder for someone here with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you'd say, preacher, you know what, I've always had good intentions of changing things, and there for a while I'd get started, but it seemed like I'd always find myself like this old boy at the well. And I heard that pool there, and here I'm back at square one. Every time I turn around, Oh, I tell you, I realize something tonight. I realize tonight I can be set free completely. I realize tonight I can be saved to the uttermost, as the pastor said. Tonight I want to be saved, preacher. Tonight I want all the chains of bondage in my life broken. Tonight I want to be set free, and he who the Son sets free is free indeed. I wonder tonight, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you'd say, preacher, that's me tonight. I want to be set free tonight. Wilt thou be made whole tonight? Tonight is the night I get made whole. Preacher, that's me. Would you slip your hand up tonight? And will you register that thing with God and say, God, tonight, by the fact of me raising this hand, I'm letting you know tonight, God, tonight I'm coming to you. I'm going to be set free. I wonder, is there one tonight? Is there one tonight you say, I need to be saved? I know I need to be saved. I know I need to be set free. I'm coming to Jesus tonight and I'm going to be set free. Is there one? Will you be made whole tonight, or will you leave here and miss out on the opportunity of grace? Will you miss out tonight? Or will you miss out? You'll not find anything else like it. Nothing else this world has will ever compare to it. There'll be nothing that will ever match it. I promise you tonight it's sweeter on this side. Will you come to Jesus tonight? I wonder tonight if there's a Christian that say, you know what, preacher? I'll tell you what. I got some things in my life I need to be set free from. Yes, I'm saved, preacher. Yes, I remember when Jesus cleansed me of my sin. I remember when my name was written down in the book of life. But you know what, preacher? There's been some things that I've let creep back in. There's been some decisions that I made that took me the wrong direction and it's caused some agony in my life. Oh, there's been some chains that I've allowed the devil to put me in. Preacher, I need to come tonight and I need to be set free from this. I ain't trying to get you to doubt your salvation or tell you you're not saved. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you can still be free. I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus will set you free from all of these things the devil wants to hold you down with. Oh, let me tell you something. You don't have to have a rotten marriage anymore. Let me tell you something. You don't have to be bound by addictions any longer. You don't have to have fear and doubt anymore. You can come tonight and you can be set free. Hallelujah. And there might be someone here tonight, and I'll just do this because the scripture text mentions it. There can be someone here tonight that's sick in body, that has physical problems tonight. Now I'm here to tell you tonight, I ain't saying that when you come up here that God's going to deliver you from every sickness you got. But I'll tell you one thing I know for sure, if you don't ask, ain't a chance you'll get anything. Tonight, I'll tell you, I believe if I had a problem in my body tonight, I believe I'd find my way to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, if it be thy will, I want you to touch me. But nevertheless, God, thy will be done, but God, give me grace that it be sufficient regardless. Why don't you come tonight and get a touch from the Savior? Wilt thou be made whole? James says we don't have because we don't ask. I'm not a faith healer tonight. I can't touch you and heal you from anything at all. I can take a bottle of oil and I can douse you down with it all night, and that oil will have nothing in it to help you. But I'll tell you tonight, there's a Savior that loves you. And there's a Savior that wants to give you grace and to be sufficient for all things. And there's a Savior that wants to wrap His arms of compassion around you and say, you know what, regardless of what you're going through tonight, I'm here with you. And you know what, I believe He may just even give you a touch tonight. And glory to God, you know what I think? I think we can take up our beds. Spiritually speaking, I believe we can take up our beds tonight. We can rise up and walk. Some of you think because there's a handicap, maybe you can't be used by God. Maybe there's a limitation on my life. God couldn't use me. I'm telling you tonight, take up your bed. Rise up and walk. You've got a testimony to be used. You've got a heart tonight that God wants to share. There's things in your life that God wants to use for His glory. Take up your bed. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. Yes, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord.